Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
The glass breaks, which means one thing. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, on with us, Josh and Swain, Ben McKee, filling in for the great Josh Ward. AP, what is up, man? Busy day today.
It is, man. We got Josiah Jordan James back. We got we got the On3 NIL Elite Series event over here in Nashville. So I'm surrounded by all these high-end 2024 football players. So, like, lots going on.
That means you're getting all the good stuff, all the nuggets to drop right here, right now with us on Josh and Swain. AP, first, Tennessee gets a commitment from Peyton Lewis. I think a lot of people anticipated this happening. He's a speedster from Virginia. I was looking at the running back room for the upcoming season. Oh, my goodness, it's stacked. And then you add Peyton Lewis to the equation. What does this mean for Tennessee?
Well, I think it's a great sign that you continue to add quality bodies. They feel like they, you know, really hit a home run with Cam Seldon. He had a really solid spring. You continue to see growth and development from, you know, Jalen Wright this spring, from Dylan Sampson. And then you continue to add with Peyton Lewis in this class. And then they're going to add another running back in this class. So maybe that's Braylon Russell. Maybe it's Daniel Hill, Nate Frazier. You know, a lot of quality running backs that Tennessee's after. So, you know, kind of like how Brian Jean-Marie feels about his running back or linebacker room, Jerry Mack is probably going to feel that way about his running back room over the next few years, kind of like watching it transform from when he got here to what it currently kind of sits at. And it just feels different, looks different. And I know, Coach Mack's excited to kind of continue to add to it.
Austin, Peyton Lewis's commitment obviously kicked off a big recruiting weekend for Tennessee over Memorial Day. Just kind of what were your big takeaways from Tennessee's 865 Live recruiting event?
Well, I thought Tennessee did themselves a lot of favor with some key recruits, Ben. And you know, I thought going in, like, you know, you're never going to get a bunch of, you know, commits this weekend. You didn't get them last year. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about just kind of building upon what you already have and kind of, you know, kind of lighting the match for the official visits that are coming up over the next several weeks. Most of the kids that were here will be back for an official visit to Tennessee in the next 2-3 weeks. So you're going to get them on your campus twice in short order. You built a lot of momentum last weekend. The kids just loved all the different stuff. Like, it wasn't about football. It wasn't about recruiting. It was just about relationships and bonding and team building and some of those things. I mean, Tennessee's not going to get all those kids that were here last weekend, but I think they'll get their share. And, you know, I thought they did a really nice job with some of those South Georgia kids. Amir Jackson was really, really complimentary of Tennessee. Same thing with Cam Michael. I thought Tennessee did as well as they could do with Sammy Brown. Is it enough to get him? Probably lean no, but, I mean, you shoot your shot with a guy like him and see what happens. I mean, again, you know, I learned a long time ago, the worst anybody can tell you is no. So you shoot your shot when you got it. Tennessee, you know, did that last weekend. I thought they did, you know, a lot of good there. And, I mean, Tennessee continues to, you know, catch the eye of several big-time players, you know, in this 2024 class. They're recruiting a different level of player this year, which means you're going to swim in deeper waters, which means, you know, sometimes you're going to get bit by a shark or two. But, you know, it's okay, because if you can land your fair share, and that's kind of my common theme here lately, Ben, is Tennessee's got to land their fair share of high-end guys. If they can do that, then it is a huge success going forward.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Which player do you feel like Tennessee made the most movement with?
You know, I think they did a really nice job with Ryan Wingo on Sunday, Monday. He wasn't here for 865 Live, but, you know, I thought they did themselves a lot of good there. You know, you look at – I don't know if it's just like one guy, Jason. I think they did themselves a lot of good with several players over the weekend, whether it be some guys like an Edwin Spillman who just, you know, continues to come back, continues to be here, you know, that you feel like, you know, you did a lot of good with. Tennessee themselves a lot of good with Ronan O'Connell. Continues to trend well there. Continues to trend well with Boo Carter. You know, and then, you know, even a guy that wasn't here, but you know, they continually stay in contact with a guy like Mike Matthews. Tennessee continues to trend well for the five-star receiver from Parkview just outside of Atlanta. So, you know, they've got a nice core group of guys, whether it be Jake Berklinger, the quarterback commit. He's here at the On3 event. Same thing with Caleb Beasley. You know, I know Beasley's going to take the September trip to Notre Dame. I don't believe there's anything to worry about. His dad's decked out nothing but orange here today. I think it's just one of those, you know, have a recruit, go have some fun and be a kid, and I don't think there's anything to worry about there. And then we'll see what Tennessee can get done on the offensive line. To me, that's still the biggest question mark is what, you know, what can they get done? Can they get Brandon Baker, you know, here for an official visit, you know, in the month of June? Can they convince him to do so? If so, you shoot your shot there and see what happens.
Where do you think Tennessee did some damage as far as making a really good impression on defensive linemen? I mean, that's the area, right? Austin, we talked about this in the past. You know, that next step for this program, you know, getting those guys in the trenches to be able to move the line of scrimmage, you got to beat Georgia. And so I think to do that, you have to add the trench play with the explosiveness on the offensive side of the football. What kind of guys did Tennessee make a really good impression with in the trenches besides offensive line, specifically defensive line?
We'll start with Cam Fountain, defensive end out of Atlanta. Tennessee did a lot of good there. You know, Tennessee's the trendy pick there, and they continue to trend well. They've been on him really since before anyone. They kind of helped put him on the map, and then other schools have come in, but Tennessee's always kind of been there, and Tennessee continues to trend well there. You know, Octavius Johnson, another kid that Tennessee, you know, I thought, you know, showed well too last weekend. And then, you know, Tennessee's got some key visits coming up, you know, over the next, you know, 30 days. When you think about Cam Franklin coming in on the 16th, and you think about William Flannery coming in on the 23rd through the 24th. And then Tennessee's going to shoot their shot at a bunch of those Leos, whether it be Danny Okoye, you know, Elijah Rushing, some of those players. I mean, some may be far-fetched, but again, you're to the point now where you shoot your shot at some of these high-end guys, and who knows? You may land them, you may not. Tennessee's done a really good job at the edge spot the last two cycles. When you think about, you know, Caleb Herring last year, 2 years ago, James Pierce and Josh Joseph. And then we'll see what Sean Davion Bradley gives you. I'm not sure Bradley factors this fall because I think he's got to put on a bunch of weight and he wasn't here for spring, but you never know, right? I mean, like, you know, Josh Joseph was fairly small last year and contributed. We'll see, you know, if Bradley can throw in some weight this summer. Elijah Herring has gotten really, really big this spring, so I expect him to factor this fall along with Pierce and Joseph, along with Roman Harrison. But to me, that Leo position is something where Tennessee can kind of take some shots. They've already got Kellen Lindstrom in the boat, so you take some shots with the Okoyes and Elijah Rushings and the Dylan Stewarts of the world, and we'll see if Stewart gets back here for an official visit. He was here over the weekend as well.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. When is the next event? 865 Live, that brought in a lot of recruits, but is there another event that is close to being as big as 865 Live before fall camp starts?
No, they could potentially do something similar like the last – when it opens back up for that 1 week at the end of July. But, you know, most of it's just official visit weekends from here on out. Now, they'll have camp. They've got a camp this afternoon over at Neyland Stadium when Josh Heupel gets back from SEC Media Days. They'll have a camp, you know, coming up night at Neyland's on Saturday. They'll have a big man camp, 7-on-7, next Thursday, and then a couple other sporadic camps for the month of June. But they're not the same event, right? They're more like football-based and that type of stuff. Like this past weekend is so laid back. Again, it's not about the football. And that's one thing that the parents really enjoyed. That's one thing the kids really enjoyed. And which is why you kept hearing the word genuine come out of every recruit's mouth, because it wasn't about recruiting. It wasn't about a sales pitch. It was just about, you know, hey, let's go hang out and play some cornhole and, you know, go to the golf facility and do a little putting on the green and have a scavenger hunt and have a talent show and just kind of do some unorthodox stuff that, you know, kids can just have fun with because they're paired up with other prospects and they, you know, kind of get put on teams and, you know, they can kind of compete.
Hey, Pete, I like five stars, man. I love me some five stars, especially at wide receiver. There's a few that Tennessee is in on. You mentioned them earlier, but Matthews. What does he like about Tennessee? Is Nico part of this equation for Matthews and Wingo? Tell us a little bit about those guys and what you think it's going to take for Tennessee to be able to get these guys on campus and seal the deal.
Well, it's kind of a common theme. I talked to Amari Jefferson over the weekend. When I talked to Matthews, when I talked to Wingo, they all talk about Kelsey Pope. They all love his laid-back approach. He's just kind of one of the guys. And, you know, he's not, you know, that much older than them. He was over a decade older than them, but he's not like 40-something years old. So he still connects from a youth perspective. And, obviously has Jalen Hyatt. Biletnikoff award on his resume now, and that helps. It doesn't mean he's going to land kids, but it definitely helps his perception, considering a year ago he was brand new to the Power 5 game, and all of a sudden now, you know, a year later, he's got Lathan Laycock, you know, who was a top 100 player. You know, you obviously had, you know, Jalen Hyatt's year last year. Ramel Keaton had a really good year last year. Brew McCoy as well. And so, you know, Kelsey Pope has an opportunity here with this group of receivers. Again, probably far-fetched to think he's going to land them all, but if you can land your share, you know, you bring in a really solid class at a position where, honestly, Tennessee needs to bring in some players, because when you look at next year, if Dante Thornton is who they think he is, he's probably going to be a one-and-done. Brew McCoy will be gone. Ramel Keaton will be gone. And then all of a sudden, it's Squirrel White and a bunch of unproven guys. So you've got to kind of start bringing in that next group to replace this current group, and that starts with the Wingos, Jeffersons, Matthews, all those type players. And I think Tennessee's going to bring in four, and we'll see what happens with J.J. Harrell. I mean, he's committed right now. Ole Miss isn't going away. We'll see if he hangs in there, or does Tennessee decide to go and look elsewhere. Tennessee had a couple other receivers in this weekend, whether it be a Cam Michael, a Kingston Lopa, kid out of Sacramento, California, who comes from the same high school as Ontario Smith and Dante Stallworth. Again, that receiver position, I think, will be a big focus. Tennessee, I think, still take at least four in this 2024 cycle.
Oh, man. Austin Price dropping nuggets today from Nashville. Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Before you go, AP, let us know what's going on there at the site. What's going on there in Nashville?
Well, we've got some nuggets up on the decision made by Josiah Jordan James to come back. We've got full coverage from 865 Live. You've been on our site for the last few days, you've seen just straight recruiting across the board. And so it's you know, a fun time to be a Vol fan. Tennessee's obviously coming off 11-2. Basketball with a really good year. Baseball's heading into the postseason here, getting ready for this NCAA regional at Clemson. And nobody's happier than Eric Kane and Ben McKee, who only have to drive a few hours and did not have to get in a car or a plane and have to go a long, long way away.
Ben McKee is thrilled about the short trip to Clemson. He's been talking about it all day. AP, man, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Awesome stuff from Austin Price, VolQuest.com. His time is brought to you by Rick Terry Jewelry. Make sure you go by and see Mr. Terry when it comes to all your jewelry needs. That is Rick Terry Jewelry Design. He sponsors Austin Price's time here on Josh and Swain each and every week. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. There's so much to talk about. There's so much going on right now with Tennessee Athletics. It is National Smile Day. I'm over here cheesing right now. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll come back and digest all this good stuff that we just heard from Austin Price. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Will Heflin, talk Tennessee baseball as he pitched in the clutch situations in Omaha and in the postseason for Tennessee. Ben McKee, GoVols 247, Jason Swain here with you. Be right back. Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. We told you. We told you today was going to be it. It was going to be lit is what the youngsters call it. And it's been that plus some. Man, it's not slowing down, because coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will talk to Will Heflin, former Tennessee pitcher, talking Tennessee baseball postseason. So this segment will be short. 865-656-9900 is a number you can give us a call, or you can text us. You can text us. Marvin says, thank you guys. You have made my day. Please send out a thank you over the air to Josiah Jordan James from all the Tennessee fans. He really is a VFL. Cameron says, we need new blood out there. His time has come and gone. We don't need him chucking up 3-for-10 for 8 points. I think Josiah's role is going to be a little bit different because the team is different. But this team is better. It's going to be better with Josiah Jordan James. There's a nice bridge of new players and old players. There's a nice mix. And so there's going to be times when players have bad shooting performances. Santi went through it. Everyone goes through it. That Texas game, Josiah set the tempo in that game to start at the beginning. If it wasn't for early foul trouble, Josiah probably dropping 20 points right there with Olivier. So Josiah hasn't been the player that everybody wants him to be because he had the 5-star ranking next to his name, but very, very valuable. And I'm pretty sure he wants to finish his career better than last year. Last year was up and down, and I think he'll be better mentally. Hopefully he'll be better physically. There's only so much you can control in that department, but it's exciting that he'll be back.
It is, and I do think people forget how many injuries he has dealt with throughout his career, which have absolutely hampered his play on the court. He missed time as a junior with a torn ligament in his left middle finger. He had surgery in May of 2021 to address a left wrist injury suffered during his sophomore season, and then he dealt with a hip injury before and during his freshman season. And then this past year, he dealt with knee and ankle injury. I mean, it's just been one thing after the next, and that absolutely hampers your play on the court. It's not an excuse. It's a reason. So hopefully he can stay healthy, and that's why I said earlier maybe less minutes is a good thing for Josiah. And, again, he'll be in there in crunch time. He's going to play a key role. But with more depth, I think it'll benefit him and Tennessee for him to play less minutes because theoretically he'll be available longer throughout the season and not miss as much time as he has missed in the past. The one thing I will say, Swain, I do think now all of a sudden you have two of your five seniors coming back from last year, Santi and Josiah, taking advantage of the free year of eligibility because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Tyreek obviously ran out of eligibility, mm-hmm. Tyreek Key. Urosh Plavchik, he officially said goodbye last week when he posted on social media. And then Olivier Kumwa, he is technically going through the draft process, but boy, has he been taking visits the last week or so. He's been at Kansas State. He's been at West Virginia. He's been to Michigan, and there's been a lot of Michigan buzz. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an Olivier Kumwa decision today because the deadline to withdraw from the draft is at midnight. And we'll see what Julian Phillips does. He's not a senior. But the point that I was getting to is that senior class, they had a weird energy to them at times last year. I do think that maybe some of the overreaction from the fans got to them maybe a little bit more than they would have liked to admit. So
the countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Hopefully with Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James coming back, hopefully they're able to reset mentally this offseason and enter the academic year getting ready for basketball season with a refreshed mindset and just a clear conscience of sorts.
You made a good point during the break, and we'll leave with this during this segment. you mentioned the fact that because of NIL, if Josiah were to walk on, and that looks like that's going to be the case, like Josiah is going to walk on. Earlier, I made the point that it's kind of a weird look. Someone that came in as a scholarship player, was a five-star player, went through the NBA draft process, decided to come back, and when he came back, he had to walk on. Like, it's a weird, weird look. The optics are weird. But with NIL, it can happen, and the most important thing is that you're able to help your team. And so you check your egos at the door, and you do whatever is best. And you made a really good point during the break is, hey, some of these NIL deals, they can be better than the contract in the G League. So it's going to work out for all parties, and I'm happy that it is going to, and I'm excited about seeing this basketball team with the additions, plus Josiah and George James. All right, coming up next, Will Heflin, former Tennessee baseball pitcher. What can we expect from his point of view, with his experience? What can we expect from this Tennessee baseball team when they make the trip to Clemson? We'll talk about his experience, and he'll give us, you know, his expertise on what needs to happen for Tennessee to get out of this Clemson region. Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain. You're listening to Josh and Swain on 991 The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 991 The Sports Animal. And joining us today on the Stanley Fenton and Gates Hotline, Ben McKee, you know all about this fella. You've been covering this baseball team for a very long time. You know I'm country. I'm over here calling him a feller, but Will Heflin, right?
That's right. My guy, Will Heflin. Will, hope you're doing well. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon. What was your reaction when you saw that Tennessee was going to be traveling to Clemson to play Charlotte on Friday night? And if everything goes according to plan for both schools, then a matchup with Clemson on Saturday.
Well, first of all, good to talk with you fellas. Love the show. So thanks for having me on. But I was a little bit surprised. I think the committee is kind of in a bind most of the time with eight SEC hosts, right? That kind of limits your options in half right off the jump. And then they try to do the best they can in terms of geographical concerns. And for me, at the end of the day, I'm pretty excited about it because it's a great environment. And I think it's good television if you're just a fan of college baseball in general. I think more people outside of the program of Clemson and Tennessee will be tuned in rather than, say, if we were at Indiana State. So I think it's kind of a tough draw for Clemson, and, you know, we certainly have our challenges in front of us with a good ball club who's a national seed. But, you know, I think it's exciting, and if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Well, for me, just simply put, a lot goes into baseball, obviously, but just simply speaking, if Andrew Lindsay and Chase Dolander pitched the way that they did at South Carolina 2 weeks ago, I think Tennessee is going to be perfectly fine. And Chase has pitched in the postseason. He did so last year. I don't know that Andrew has pitched in the NCAA tournament just yet after transferring from Charlotte, which, ironically, he'll be facing his former team most likely on Friday night. What would be your words of encouragement to Lindsay and Dolander? You've pitched in an SEC championship game. You've pitched in the NCAA tournament. You've pitched in Omaha. What would be your advice to those guys to go out there and, I guess, calm the nerves and pitch to their abilities?
It's interesting you bring that up because I was kind of talking over with one of my buddies and just the strategy. And, you know, Coach Vitello doesn't want anybody's advice, especially not mine. But I think it'll be interesting to see where he goes with that game one starter, because you've got everybody rested up, which is one of the benefits of not having a long week at Hoover, is he's kind of got, you know, his pick of however he wants to open with. But let's assume that Lindsay kind of stays in that game one starting role and has to face his former team and his former pals over at Charlotte, who's a very good ball club, by the way. They're extremely up and down throughout the year. I've kept up with them a little bit. Interesting enough, they've actually got a Tennessee transfer, Austin Knight, who played high school baseball with Max Ferguson, and then played a couple years at Tennessee, and he's been a rock for them over there. So that's an interesting matchup. But my only advice would be just to try to be where your feet are. I think one of the advantages of playing in the SEC is the stadiums that you get to play in, especially on the west side of the conference. There's just some absolute palaces to play baseball in. So going into that stadium at Clemson, which is extremely nice, and playing on a big stage like the NCAA tournament, I think they're extremely prepared. And, you know, obviously Dolly has the experience of last year pitching at home in the NCAA tournament. So I think they know how to handle it, and I wouldn't have anything for them specifically. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a little bit heightened in terms of the magnitude of the game. So I think you have to try to deal with that as best you can, and just get into the fight early. You know, once you throw that first strike or get that first out, then I think you just kind of take a deep breath and go from there.
Will Heflin, former Tennessee pitcher here on Josh and Swain. And Will, you know, my background is football, and it's a team game. It can't just be one side, the defense doing their job or the offense doing their job. You know, you have to play complementary football for the team to win. So my question to you, we've seen recently where the bullpen has been great, but the bats have been cold. Do you, as a pitcher, ever talk to guys about, hey, man, come on, let's get the bats going, or, hey, maybe there's some errors behind you that are taking place? Do you ever talk to the guys outside of what you are doing? And you have a lot on your plate anyways, but what's the conversations like talking to other guys, or do you have that conversation with other guys?
I mean, it's similar to football. I mean, mm-hmm. If you go score two touchdowns, but the defense doesn't get a stop, then, you know, you may go over there and say, hey, guys, come on, like, mm-hmm. you know, let's pull the rope together. So I think there is a way to go about that loosely, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to find ways to win on both sides. And I think that's kind of the beauty of baseball and football, where it is, you know, segmented a little less like basketball because there's such a flow. But in baseball and football, you know, there's clearly one team on offense and clearly one team on defense. So I think, you know, for us to get out of the Clemson regional as the champion, I think there needs to be a game where maybe the pitching staff carries a little bit and the offense runs into a good pitcher and struggles. And then, you know, there needs to be a game where if the other team scores five or six early, that we really need to be carried by the offense. So I think, you know, I understand your point completely, but it's hard to know the way the game is going to go. But I think good teams kind of have a knack for winning however they need to win that day. So I think you just, like I said before, you kind of got to be where your feet are and roll with the punches. And it's not really sports specific in that way. I think it really comes down to the competing at a high level and, you know, the programs that are in the postseason year after year, they have different teams with different strengths and find different ways to win. And I think that's one thing that, you know, Coach V and Coach Anderson from the pitching side and Elander from the hitting side are really good at, is they just kind of seem to know how to win. And, you know, it's hard to know how it's going to get done headed into it, but you just got to do it when the game starts. So that's kind of my thoughts there.
Will, how concerned are you about Tennessee playing on the road this weekend? Obviously, the road record is abysmal this season, but it did look like they maybe turned a corner at South Carolina. That was an impressive road series win. Are you buying into that road series win as they've turned the corner, or are you still kind of in wait-and-see mode because that is a small sample size?
I'm glad you brought it up, Ben, because, Swain, I listened to your Battle of the Orange rant earlier in the week about Texas and Tennessee, and I totally agree with you there.
My man.
But Ben just hit my button, so you guys are going to hear my rant on the road record.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
First of all, everybody is 0-0 starting now. This is the postseason. You might as well throw it out the door. It doesn't matter. Secondly, a Coach Vitello team is never going to, quote-unquote, be worse on the road. It's literally his personality, kind of gritty, scrappy. Just he wants to be blue-collar, and part of that is being really tough on the road. Let me ask you guys this, because one thing I heard about getting put in the Clemson Regional was that we were a lower two seed, and they don't really seed after the 1-16 in baseball. Like I said, it's more geographical, what conference fit, blah, blah, blah. Like, Arkansas kind of got a tough draw with the Big 12 champ TCU there, and, you know, they're a top five seed as well. So it doesn't really have anything to do with that. But I say that to say, if, let's say we didn't get swept at Missouri, let's say we won that series and won the Georgia series, but we got swept at home by Vanderbilt and A&M, right? We went 6-0 versus those two and 1-5 against Missouri and Georgia. Let's say you flip those. Are we getting credit for now beating two lesser teams on the road and losing to two better teams at home?
Absolutely,
I get it completely. You can spin the narrative however you want. I just don't think it matters, and I think this team has plenty of resolve to be successful on the road. And hopefully, I'm right.
I hope so too. I think we're joined by Will Heflin, former Tennessee pitcher. Like, it's hard, Will, to deny the number when you look at the home record versus the road record, and it's hard for people to look at that record and just totally ignore it. But like, I get exactly what you're saying. Like, if you win, you know, more of those games on the road, but you lose versus better competition at home, like, that narrative is not going to be talked about as much as it's been talked about now. So, but you're right. You're 0-0 now. It's about handling business in the postseason. And we saw last year, Ole Miss took that to heart. They just handle business in the postseason. The regular season doesn't matter. You learn from those experiences, but you handle business when it's time to.
100%. And we lost early on the road as well, on the West Coast. And, you know, that's not even the same team. That's February versus now, you know, we're a day away from June. Just so much changes between, you know, throughout the course of the year. And I think if you just put it in the trash and don't even think about it, then it's not going to be a factor. If you kind of, you know, go into it and think, oh, we've got to be better because we're on the road and we haven't played good on the road, then I think that's just a losing mentality.
Will, you certainly know a thing or two about pitching in the postseason, so we appreciate you joining us and giving us some insight on what's going to be key for Tennessee, because I don't think there's any doubt that Tennessee will probably go as far as Tennessee's talented pitching staff takes them. So we appreciate you joining us and giving us some of your insight this afternoon.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Look forward to watching it, and talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Will Heflin, former Tennessee pitcher, on with us on Josh and Swain. Will basically told us to shut up.
Dave Serrano told me to shut up last week, and now Will Heflin's telling me to shut up this week.
That's what Will told everybody.
Tony Vitello's going to be telling me to shut up this weekend.
Shut up talking about the road record. It's 0-0. We'll see what happens this weekend and moving forward. That's what Will said. I am Will Heflin's translator. Shut up is what Will told us. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to shut up because I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back with Attaboy here on Josh and Swain. Josh and Swain with you on a fine Wednesday afternoon, about 7 minutes till the top of the hour. Ben McKee, Golf Office 247, filling in for Josh Ward. I'm Jason Swain, and Joel sets us up for today's Attaboy.
I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me. Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Holmes, remind yourself, nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy.
Awesome experience taking place in Colorado Springs, Colorado, because Tennessee basketball sophomore Toby Awaka and redshirt freshman Freddie DeLeon have accepted invitations to attend the 2023 USA Basketball Men's 19 and Under World Cup Team Training Camp. So we saw Toby Awaka out there manhandling grown men in his freshman season for Tennessee. He was a man-child. He's only going to get better moving forward. Really cool experience that he's going to have during this World Cup team trials. And DeLeon hasn't bounced a ball yet for Tennessee in a game, but he's also going to benefit from this experience. So I'm going to give both guys an attaboy. Man, Tennessee Athletics right now,
on fire.
It is unbelievable what is going on with Tennessee Athletics. So, according to Vol Sports, Tennessee is one of two schools in the country this past postseason, this past year, where football, men's basketball, women's soccer, baseball, women's basketball, volleyball, and softball all in the postseason. The only other school is Texas.
Is that good?
That sounds great. Only one of two schools, and one of those schools wears orange, and the other one wears brown. That is Attaboy for you today. Attaboy is brought to you by Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscape, making your backyard dreams come true. Schedule a free consultation today, nativetn.com. A lot of good stuff going on. Like, you couldn't be negative if you wanted to. Like, here's a little bit of negativity on the text box. No, seriously, like it's funny because things have been so great for so long around here. Well, hold on. So great for the last year or two around here that the only negativity is, oh man, Josiah George James coming back. Undoubted leader and positive, you know, influence on his basketball program. Oh man, he's coming back. Oh, he had a, you know, rough year, but man, he was kind of good in some other games too. But oh, he's coming back. That's the only thing. That's the only thing.
If you don't think Josiah Jordan James is a good basketball player, I don't know what to tell you. It's really that simple.
Oh man. Oh, I love it. If you missed it, the big news today for Tennessee basketball, Josiah Jordan James announcing he is returning for his last season. Looks like he's going to walk on, and they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. But he'll be back. He'll be playing. And this is a huge development for Tennessee basketball. Huge development. Huge development.
Karen Weekly's out here hitting the gritty on a Wednesday.
I can't even do
the
gritty.
In Oklahoma City.
I can't do the gritty. My feet, they don't work well together to be able to do it. I just don't hit the gritty. Somehow, somewhere, I end up doing the Carlton from Fresh Prince.
I bet Robert Meacham could hit the gritty.
I bet he can't. I bet
Brett Smith could hit the gritty.
I bet he can. Yeah, he can hit the gritty.
But I bet Chris Brown can.
What's Chris Brown?
Your Chris Brown.
I know we ain't talking about the football player Chris Brown.
We're talking about your former teammate Chris Brown. Man, I bet he can hit the gritty.
He's not hitting the gritty either.
He has to be able to hit the gritty because his name is Chris Brown.
I don't think he can handle that pressure. I don't think he can hit the gritty. We'll have to see it. How to get video evidence. There is video evidence of Joe Milton throwing the football 80 yards. That is a thing. That is out there. There's been a little bit of a whisper that Joe Milton can hit 90. But we saw him, he threw it pretty hard. I bet he can throw it harder. And I bet he can probably get close to 85, 90. But there's video footage out there of Joe Milton throwing the ball 80 yards. That is unreal. Okay, hour number one. We talked SEC scheduling. We heard from David Cutcliffe on his take on eight-game conference scheduling. We were about to go to the audio clip of him talking about nine games. And then Josiah George James decided to wreck everything and announced that he was returning. And so, boom, that dominated the conversation. But when we come back to start hour number three, we go back to SEC scheduling. Spring meetings taking place. Jimmy Himes is down there. Got a chance to talk one-on-one with David Cutcliffe. Been getting a ton of interviews, so make sure you keep it locked here on 991 to get all the SEC spring meeting coverage right here on this channel. So when we come back, we'll hear from David Cutcliffe. We'll talk SEC spring scheduling when we return.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.